Hello, everybody, and welcome again to our newest edition of Making Waves here on LakeChelanNow.com. Dennis Rahm along with Steve Byquist.
And guests we've been making waves with for almost 50 years, as a matter of fact, have the Evans brothers with us to make some waves.
Yeah, guess what we're going to be talking about?
We're making waves.
Our pleasure to welcome in Mark Evans and Mitch Evans, and of course, a lot of folks in the community know them in various regards, but for many,
Reputation precedes them.
Some of that we won't get into, but they are known for hydroplane racing, most certainly, and that's the topic of our discussion today, because we've got hydroplane racing in the month of May coming up, early in May, as a matter of fact, Saturday, May 5th. It will be the Apple Cup Regatta. These two gentlemen have been working very closely with the event coordinators on this. They're going to bring in a bunch of boats here to Lake Chelan. We're excited about it. Let's first go to Mitch Evans. Mitch, I know you've been talking to the folks out of Seattle. How did this all come about?
You know, we've been wanting to do an early event for a long period of time. The event out in Manson, originally was here. We moved it to Manson, and September's really tough. The races started kind of stacking up on each other. So we said, well, let's look at the first of the year, May. And then Gordy Cole from Seattle Inboard, friend of ours, started calling. He goes, well, you know, and this has only been about a month ago. What do you think about putting on a race? We got some dates in May, and I thought, well, let's try it out. You know, it's before the busy season. You know, the lake's down, but really Mother Nature can cooperate with us. So I thought, let's try it. So here we are.
Here we are. I know I talked to Gordy on the telephone. He's really excited about putting this event together. And it's going to be fun because this is part of that Pro Light Shootout Series. But my understanding is they refer to it as Pro Light, but really it's that old 5-liter class.
Yeah, and they're a very competitive class. More and more boats showing up each year, so it's great to have a series where they can go to all these races and compete. It brings more folks and more boats to all the events, which is what we're trying to do here. So I'm really looking forward to seeing them.
Now, I know the Chelan race here will be the second in this shootout series. They've already opened up with a race at Lawrence Lake in the Yelm area. Curious, Mark, I know you've been brought into the fold. Mitch was dealing with these people. I'm sure one of his first phone calls was, hey, brother, I got something for you to do. What are your thoughts on the race?
Well, actually what happened is Mitch invited me to a little luncheon meeting. I didn't even know what the heck it was, so I got volunteered, which is all right. We enjoy boat racing so much, and years ago they used to have the unlimited races in May. You know, it worked out pretty good. So looking forward to helping everybody, you know, come and have a good time, be organized, and have a good race.
I know, Steve, when you and I talked about this a while back on Making Waves, we mentioned the fact that there's one thing you always got to be concerned about in the spring here on Lake Chelan.
And that happens to be wind. But that's the same. Racing, boating, pretty much weather dependent, no matter where you go. Hurry up and wait.
And Steve, you've been to a lot of these races, and you and I were kind of poking fun at our own non-prowess when we got to participate in a couple of celebrity races back in the day.
I forgot about that. That's right.
We may touch on that a little bit again, but it's great to have the boats on the lake, isn't it?
No doubt. I'm interested to hear from the guys the challenges of pulling all of this off of the lake level at, what, 1090-ish for the weekend event, down 10 feet. Changes pits, changes where the beer garden is, changes where the crowd goes. You know, a bunch of changes from what we used to seeing. Tell me about logistics.
Right. Well, like Brother Mitch was explaining to me the other day, they're going to do the merry-go-round effect, they call it. They'll put the crane right down by the ramp, and we won't have a whole bunch of boats parked around the crane, you know, crowded down by the Campbell's Lodge area. We'll be more up in the parking lot, and like Steve said, we'll move the beer garden and the T-shirt areas on down the park a little ways. And this could make it even more efficient. The guys come winging down with their boats and trucks. We pick them right off, put them in the water, and then when they come back, we pull them right out, put them back on the trailer, so that's what they call the merry-go-round effect, and sure should work pretty good. We did have some people calling up and really worried about the lake level. People just freak out when they find out our feet drop, you know, our lake drops 15 feet, you know. So they called up and said, "You sure you got water?" And I said, "Well, I'm pretty sure we do." So we're good to go.
or as I explained to them better yet, I said, "Think about the most beautiful beach to suntan on. Yeah. The wives will be happy. The kids, they can come and play." And really, that's what it is here. We're just looking so looking forward to having a nice weekend and racing and having all the families here and filling up the park and just a great time.
Well, speaking of that, Mitch, as I understand it, the marina parking lot essentially now becomes the pit area, and that will be accessible if you have a pit pass, but not for people to really come in and park or any of that. The public parking will be for the Don Morris Park, the bigger parking lot. But it's my understanding with the beach having enough area like that, the beer garden's actually going to drop down onto the beach area.
Well, just to the edge of it. We're going to keep it on the edge of the grass so that we can still have access to it and get and let people go down onto the beach. You know, there'll be some viewing. The start-finish line will be out right on the edge of the beach line. And maybe we're talking about putting it on a small boat to move it out. We're going to have a little trouble with the bulkhead kind of jetting out there for people to see as they're making the start. So we're gonna wing it a little bit and we'll move the clock where we need to and just pile in everybody else around it.
Is the course itself going to be essentially what people have been used to in the past?
Yeah. Obviously, we got a little bit of low water in the bay out there, but it'll be a mile and a quarter. We'll move it out into the lake a little bit. And great viewing at both ends of the course and obviously from Don Morris Park.
How many classes boats will be with us for the weekend?
There should be 9 or 10. It just depends. We have the folks coming from Canada that like to bring their OPCs, the outboard boats. We've got flat bottoms and 5 or 6 of the hydro classes. So it is early. People are still getting all their stuff ready. So it'll be interesting. We'll make the classes as they come, fill them in, and go for it.
Does it help the fact that there was a race the week before?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, Lake Lawrence is a record course that brings a lot of boats out. So people push really hard to get that get to that event, and then everybody loves coming here anyway, so we have the advantage of them traveling and on a short notice. The park is going to be full. People have been calling looking for rooms and houses and that kind of thing, so we're trying to do everything we can to accommodate them and have a good weekend.
So Mark, if you would tell us a little bit about these pro lights. They've upped, as I understand, the cubic inches used to be, what, 305s, and now they've gone up a little bit larger capacity?
Yes, they went on up to a 350 block, and you know, there's a lot of those available. So this class was originally a stock class, a little more inexpensive to run, which it is compared to some of the bigger ones. But, yep, it gives you a little more horsepower because the 305s, they were really slow coming off the turn, and you really had to drive them. So now we've got a little bit more horsepower and make them a little faster, a little quicker, and the drivers sure like it, so. It'll make it more interesting. And by the way, we do have some vintage boats coming over too. We got some of the smaller vintage boats. So all you older folks out there that like the older styles, you know, round nose, conventionals, come on down, check them out.
I noticed you glanced at Steve when you made that comment.
Yeah, he's a little
older class. No class at all is what's in.
Oh, there's a little class in there. Come on.
All right, we're going to take a quick pause here, and we'll come back and continue with our conversation. And I guess we should identify, if we did not, this is the Apple Cup Regatta, correct?
Yes, it is. We wanted to promote the old days of where it began, and we've come full circle back around. So beans, both events were held in May, so that's where we're going for it. So, and we've had great support with that.
All right, more conversation appropriately enough here on Making Waves, as we're going to continue with talk on the hydroplane races coming up Saturday, Sunday, May 5 and 6 here at the off of Don Morris Park. Should be a lot of fun. Back with more in just a moment here on LakeChelanNow.com. Welcome back to Making Waves here on LakeChelanNow.com. Dennis Rahm, Steve Bykwist, Mark and Mitch Evans with us as well, talking hydroplane racing here on Lake Chelan with the race coming up Saturday, Sunday, May 5 and 6. And Mitch Evans, we were talking about vintage boats being a part of this, and surprisingly, you indicated to us earlier that that's really, even though they don't competitively race, they're out there more for exhibition, it's the biggest class.
Yeah, there's a lot of events in the last couple of years as boat racing kind of goes up and down, the vintage thing has really taken off. So we're getting boats being literally taken out of the berry bushes in the barns and being restored. So it's been great. I took on an unlimited project myself with the Breathless here 4 or 5 years ago, you know, and the museum with the Mahogany Merlot, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So we're going to see a lot of vintage boats May 5th and 6th here that you wouldn't normally see.
They'll be running. They're competitive, yes, but they're not here for points and run in different classes, different arrangement, I guess, than the guys that are here to crew points.
Right. So it's an exhibition event for them. It's basically, you know, lopped up into three different classes, the small, the mid, and the large. So and it's the same basic group that you see at Mahogany Merlot, but there'll just be a few more added. And they put on a great show, and it works really good. So the racers that are racing for points and for the money thing, it gives them a little break. They can get themselves ready between heats. We can run some vintage stuff, have a good time, and it just is a great mix for everybody.
So on those larger vintage boats, then we're talking boats larger than the Prolite series. What speeds might we see on some of the bigger ones?
So you know, the vintage class up to 100 miles an hour, you know, they have some supercharged boats that are 17, 18 feet long that really, really go. So you just get an unbelievable mix mash of people and boats, and really fun to watch.
Probably depends on how much money a person wants to stick in their vintage boat as to how fast it's going to go. I mean, that's boating.
Absolutely. I mean, that's it. I mean, the more money you can and want to spend on it, the faster you're going to go. So it's just truly great to see these boats being brought out that I thought I would never see again. Starting out in the mid to early 70s myself in the limited class, you know, it makes me feel pretty vintage right now. But to be able to come back after all these years, and some people spend a lot of time and a lot of money on them, and they are beautiful. I mean, they're total recreations.
So you get a 454 blown high maintenance sort of arrangement in a vintage boat. You're talking, well, it has to make you want to jump in and go.
I mean, absolutely. Yeah, you watch those things go, and having sat both in front of the motors and behind them, you stand down on that thing, and it just brings a big grin to your face and total fear hanging on, because you got to turn them. In the old days, those older boats don't get around the corners like they do today, but still a ton of fun to drive, and it's just great to see them as they bring them out.
Now, on the competitive racing side, we've mentioned the Prolite series. These are the ones that are going for the shootout, they call it. There's a pretty large prize at stake. Tell us how that's all working.
Basically, this year it's about a $10,000 purse for these classes, and I believe there's 9 or 10 races kind of basically in the Northwest, and they'll travel around, and it just brings more very competitive boats out and some great racing.
And these boats, what speeds will they be hitting?
So their average 115, and they could bump over 120 in the day. And the kilo, they used to run over 120. But yeah, with going to the 350 motor, the things accelerate through the corner really fast, and they put on a great show.
Yeah, these are the, as I recall from past races, Steve, these are the boats that you see out there, and oftentimes that 5 liter was always so competitive, and you get a lot of that deck to deck kind of racing.
You bet, and it's exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing more of the 350s. In that they wouldn't be as quite doggy when you're coming out of the corner. You've got some acceleration there. You can get with the program.
You can hear them. I mean, they are up running hard. They have open headers, and they're just flying. And you can see the water, the skid fin water, as they're turning. And yeah, they're really packing the mail.
So some of the variety is, I understand there's going to be 1 liter, there's going to be 2 liter, 2.5 liter, just kind of stair-stepping up from outboards to inboards.
Right. So all the way through up to that 5 liter class, and then, like I say, quite a few of the vintage, you know, which even have some bigger classes mixed in with it. So it'll be a huge variety, and it'll be a great show.
Now, Mark, what is your role going to be on race day?
Mitch is going to surprise me with that. We'll probably be up directing traffic, helping the boats get in and out of the water efficiently. You know, a lot of race sites, it takes a lot of time, you know, to get people, get their boats hooked up and get down there. So we're going to try to make it really efficient so there's not much downtime, so we have lots of racing action. So I'll be either in the pits or down on the water, actually helping get boats back to the dock. Sometimes these boats are coupled up direct. There's no gearbox or in and out or a neutral. You just kind of, you hit the button and you go. So when you come in, I always joke, one of the hardest parts about racing the race boat is docking the thing, because you got to shut it off just right. So if they conk out a little ways, out, you know, I'll go out in a little boat and push them into the dock, keep things running efficiently.
Speaking of that running efficiently, it takes a lot to put on a race. And I know you were talking about how you're going to handle the launching efforts there at the park, but you also need to have spotter boats out and a number of things. And this race came together so quickly. How are you guys doing on the volunteers and getting enough people to man those spots?
Oh, pretty good. Mitch has been working really hard. He's been on the phone a lot. The Seattle Inboard people will be bringing their own professional rescue crew over. And thank you for all these volunteers that help. This isn't our first rodeo. We've done it quite a few times, so it's coming along really well. We could always use more volunteers, so if there's anybody out there interested, give us a call. 679-1360 is my phone number. Give us a ring. You want to help out, we'd sure appreciate it.
And maybe even show up. Race day are probably going to be something to do, right?
Absolutely. It never ends. There's a ton of preparation on Friday, just getting everything set up. And then as the weekend goes on, it takes a lot of bodies to make it work.
How is it going to be handled in terms of the public coming out and viewing? I assume, like in past years, you'll have pit passes available for purchase?
Yeah, absolutely. There'll be the main gate, there'll be the pit area, which is going to be pretty much cordoned off, but there'll be an access there where you can buy a pit pass, sign the waiver, and come on in and check the boats out. And then everything else in the main portion of Don Morris Park, you'll be able to come in and park and then just come down to the waterfront.
You mentioned sign the waiver, and with anything we do these days, there's liability and insurance concerns and that whole area. I'm assuming a good part of that's handled by Seattle Inboard.
Yeah, basically, being APBA is the sanctioning body, Seattle Inboard, they produce the insurance for themselves and then also through APBA. So, yeah, that's one of our biggest expenses. You know, that's one of the biggest hurdles we jump through every time to put on an event because it gets tougher and tougher. So that's one of our biggest hurdles.
Guys, I'm curious, you mentioned these vintage boats and the resurgence of that and them being kind of drug out of barns and other areas. Do we have, I know you've got your boat, the Breathless, Mitch, but do we have others maybe in the Lake Chelan Valley that have got any variety of these vintage boats?
Yeah, there's really not here locally. They're coming from outside the valley. There's a couple from up north, but really the majority of them are coming from the other side of the mountains and just everywhere, all throughout the United. The guys are driving clear to Florida, to Connecticut. I mean, they're buying these things, projects, and then bringing them home. The Northwest is still one of the biggest areas, you know, for restorations and boat racing. So they get brought here and restored, and that's why we're seeing this big turnout.
As a matter of fact, Dennis, I have one in my backyard I will make you a deal on. I just happen to have it. I got it covered up there ready for you, so you just let me know.
Going to be the bike with some Ron making waves.
Oh, yeah, heck yeah. I see that. Come on, you guys, step up.
There you go. Yeah, that would be a scary thought, I'll tell you. They close the entire
That's
course.
We have insurance for this kind of stuff. And by the way, so just so you all know, APBA stands for American Powerboat Racing Association, and they are a great sanctioned body nationwide. Take care of us and, you know, make all the rules and make sure the insurance is all correct and so everybody's covered and we all can have some fun with no worries.
Well, you know, I do give you credit at all times when I talk about my two times that I raced in the celebrity race. And the first year I did it, I won, and it was on your advice of just pedal to the metal and turn left.
Yep.
And I did that. Even though I lost track of how many laps.
Fortunately, you turned left in front of me, well ahead of the buoy, but I remember this well.
I forgot to tell you to make it clear to the buoy.
Don't tell me you came in first.
He's still complaining because he got washed down. You know, you gotta let it go, Steve.
I'm thinking we may want a rematch here.
Yeah,
we're gonna work on getting you guys out. Yep. The small boats will be here coming up, and we'll work something out with these guys.
Yeah. Anything we haven't touched on this spring race in Chelan that maybe we should be mentioning?
You know, I'm just looking forward to the event, and absolutely, we're always looking for volunteer help to come out. Give us a call. Stop by. I chatted with Janet at the boat clubs. Hopefully put the word out. Anybody that has a boat can come out and raft up. That's a whole nother part of the viewing area, plus helping us just try to keep the race course safe. And just looking forward to the event.
This is one that you're trying to grow. I mean, this is really, it's a return to the time of year when the Apple Cup occurred back in the 50s. And this is, you're trying to, what's that, 1960?
Yeah, 60 was the last one, yeah. Yep.
So you're trying to grow this event into an annual, count on it every year sort of deal.
Absolutely, and that's it's just a perfect time of year. You know, our crazy summer season has started. The boat racing season is just beginning, and it's a perfect slot. So if we can make this work, this will be an annual tradition for a long time to come.
A lot of people, I'm assuming, in the boat racing circles, this may be their first time out, first opportunity to run it, first opportunity to see what we did over the winter, right. See if it's really going to work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's never ending. So the opportunity is we're just so fortunate to be able to do that here, because on the west side of the mountains, they're losing lakes and places to run. You know, it's just getting tougher and tougher. So I just feel so fortunate to be able to put on an event here, bring all our friends and family over and have these events that we have and enjoy them.
Quick question. I know there were, Gordy told me, I think, 4 boats running in Yelm at Lawrence Lake from the East Coast. And because the races are back-to-back, is it likely we'll see those boats here?
I'm hoping, yeah. You know, as those events, record events especially, things tend to happen. You know, crashes, I mean, mechanical problems. So I'm just praying that they all have a great weekend, come out of there in one piece, and then, yeah, come back over the hill and have some fun with us.
I want to ask this of each of you, can respond, but as you, I know you've worked a number of these races here in Chelan, but does the old itch ever come back? Mark, we'll start with you, and you start seeing boats roll in on trailers, and does that itch come, that competitive itch to say, man, I'd like to be out there?
Oh, it sure does. I've got it really bad. I still, you know, you hear an engine start or you smell the fuel, and you just go, whoa. But I will tell you, our itch is really big. Mitch and I actually have a little thing going on for next year, and we might be able to tell you all about that later on, but we've got a little situation. We're going to try her one more time and see if we can go out and kick some butt and have some fun. But, yep, it don't go away for me.
Wow, surprise coming up, Mitch.
Yeah, absolutely. It's we've had enough time to think about it and recover from the prior years, and I've been really lucky with my Breathless project. You know, it's a Vintage Unlimited, so I've been able to go out and go around a little bit and relieve a little bit of it, but we've had some opportunities come up that I think we're going to jump into a little bit and see how it goes for the future, so hopefully that works out for all of us.
I'd be excited to hear more about the project for next year.
Yeah, I don't know if we can wait long, right?
I got an idea of what might be going on, but yeah, we'll let them talk about it later.
That'll be another addition to Making Waves down the road. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time, and let's hope for a non-windy day and some sun, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's going to be the best scenario, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Mitch, thank you. Mark, thanks as well.
Thank you very much. You know, the funny thing about over here, even when a boat breaks down, they can't run the rest of the day, they love it, because then the family goes, runs around town, has a good time. So I actually heard a guy go, good, we're broke down, let's go have some fun, you know. So it's a twofold deal around here.
By the way, Mark, I want to thank you, because Making Waves is mobile today, Steve. We're on the road at the beautiful Sunset Marina, where Mark is the dock master, and what an awesome facility.
Arguably the finest on the lake, no doubt about it. And yes, a hell of an asset.
Yes, it is. We're sitting here, a bar right behind us, but I promise we're not consuming any beverages or anything. Beautiful fireplace, nice lounging chairs, doors that open up and look out onto the marina here, and a pretty spectacular setting. And you having fun doing this?
Oh, I sure am. It's kind of calling it my retirement job, so to speak, and it isn't really a job. I love it so much, the quality of the place. I'm into docks. The quality of the docks are so nice and sturdy. We work with the Clean Marina people, so we're very clean and efficient, so on and so forth, and I'm just really happy to be involved in the whole process. It's really neat.
All right. Mark Evans, Mitch Evans, we thank you very, very much. Steve Byquist, again, it's been fun.
Making Waves.
Making Waves here on LakeChelanNow.com.